Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurora Half Year Result Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Nigel Garrard. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks everybody for joining us today, and welcome to the Aurora Group results call this morning. As is customary, I'm joined by Stuart Hutton, our Chief Financial Officer, for the call. Today, I'll give an overview of our half-year results to 31 December, and I'll then hand over to Stuart, who'll take you through the details of the key financials. I'll conclude with some comments on the progress of our strategy and the outlook for the remainder of FY19, and then Stuart and I will be happy to take your questions. Before we start, please take note of the information that's on slide two and in appendix one. So although there are no significant items in the first half of 2019, please note that throughout the presentation, we are referencing underlying earnings in the prior corresponding period. Those of you who follow us, have been following us for a while, will recall that we had a net significant item expense of $1.9 million relating to the closure of the sale of our Smithfield site and potential additional costs associated with decommissioning of the Petrie site last year. We're comparing with underlying statutory results just to make comparisons easier. While we're on that, I just would like to make a couple of comments about the Petrie site. The commissioning of that site is a significant exercise, and the estimated cost of that remains contingent on final remediation design solutions that will be approved by the regulatory authorities. As of today, decommissioning work continues on site, and this has been completed in conjunction with finalizing the remaining design phase for the decommissioning overall. The final design phase is complex, as you would expect on a substantial site that we've operated on for over 80 years. It's time-consuming and involves various stakeholders, including the landowner and multiple government agencies. So the estimated cost to complete the decommissioning are contingent on all of these factors and require significant judgment in respect of determining a reliable estimate. Aurora will continue to progress the design solutions and maintain our engagement with the landowner, with our experts and the government agencies in an effort to finalise the cost estimates and complete the decommissioning and the handover of the site. We expect the final design phase and estimation of costs to conclude before 30th of June of 2019. Turning to the half-year results, it's pleasing to see Aurora's track record of delivering solid earnings growth continue, with underlying NPAT up 7.6% on the prior corresponding period to $113.7 million. The result was driven by organic growth in the group's core businesses and enhanced by the benefits from the initial contributions from recent acquisitions and capital investments to deliver customer-led product solutions and improve our productivity. All this was despite challenging market conditions remaining across our geographies. Operationally, EBIT growth of 5.9% was delivered through higher output at the B9 paper mill with production volumes continuing to track ahead of our design capacity, some benefits of higher paper export prices, the ongoing focus of improving manufacturing and operating efficiencies across our Australasian business, slightly higher can volumes, and a favourable glass and cans product mix, with an ongoing focus on innovation and value-added product lines, and some positive translational FX impact from our foreign or our US dollar denominated earnings of $4.6 million compared with last year. From a dividend point of view, the board's declared an interim dividend of 6.5 cents a share, partially franked to 50%, which is an increase of 8.3% on the prior period. The payout ratio of approximately 69% is at the top end of our indicated range and further highlights the continued confidence the board has in the business. A couple of points on the dividend. In light of potential changes to the Australian tax treatment with regard to franking credits, Aurora's overall franking balance saw us with a slight surplus, and the board felt it opportune to increase the franking on the interim dividend to 50%. You will recall that to date, Aurora's dividends have been franked to 30%. After this dividend, we expect franking to revert to the 30% level for future dividends. With us only having the capacity to partially frank dividends, the unfranked portion has historically been sourced from the conduit foreign income account. We no longer have the capacity to maintain this level of sourcing, so commencing with the final FY19 dividend, the board has determined that the unfranked portion will be partially sourced from the conduit foreign income account. The estimate level of this sourcing will be approximately 30%. Looking at cash flow, it was solid with cash conversion at 52%, which was below the prior year, but in line with our expectations. And as we have indicated to you in the past, cash flow was impacted by a reset on trading terms on the importation of aluminium, which had a negative impact of approximately $25 million. We expect to see most of this impact reversed by 30th of June, as terms have now been successfully renegotiated. Return on average funds employed was up 40 points to 14.3 on the prior corresponding period and 30 points from June 18 through obviously increased earnings from investments and self-help initiatives. If I look at the journey of Aurora since we listed in December 2013, our return on average funds employed, which has been a prime focus for us, has risen from 9.3% to 14.3% this time. Investing in future growth remains a strategic priority. During the period, Aurora spent approximately 108% of depreciation, with $74 million on organic base and growth projects. And in addition, we invested a further $140 million on acquisitions in North America, bringing the total investment across the group to over $210 million for the half. Benefits are continuing to flow from the capital asset refresh program in fibre packaging, and as a result, further investments will be made for the remainder of FY19 and beyond on this and other organic capital programs in the business. These investments, along with our innovation initiative, which we've talked about before, combined with the group's ongoing cost focus and efficiency focus, are playing an important role in supporting the business to drive both sales growth and margin improvement to offset input cost pressures. But turn to slide 4 and safety. As I've said many times before, safety of our team members is a fundamental priority. We are not happy with the deterioration in safety results over the last 6 months. They are frankly not acceptable, and our focus on safety will continue. As part of that, we've launched an independent global review of our safety practices, and the review is underway and likely to be completed by April 2019. And it will help assess root causes and develop a further range of initiatives that will improve our overall safety performance across each of our geographies. Moving to slide 5 and Australasia. The underlying sales in Australasia grew 3.7% during the period. You'll see sales grew 4.4% on the slide. The underlying sales at 3.7 is after taking into account the movements in aluminium pricing during the year. As I mentioned earlier, B9's had a very good first half, continuing on from FY18. Where it produced above design capacity volumes for the first time. And I'm pleased to say that B9 is on track to achieve this again in FY19. The fibre packaging business continues to perform well and benefit from focusing on our specific market segments. And we saw higher volumes in certain processed food, fresh produce and meat sectors compared with a prior corresponding period. Some of the meat benefit is due to increased culling of herd numbers as a result of drought conditions in parts of Australia, and it remains to be seen the effect of recent rains in Queensland on the Queensland numbers, and I'll talk to that a little later. The beverage business earnings were higher, driven by higher cans volumes, favourable product mix in cans and glass, and continued improvement in our operating efficiencies across the business. Importantly, our top line growth has translated into higher profitability in the Australasia segment, with EBIT up 5.4%, despite the cost wins from kraft paper, electricity and starch, which totaled approximately $8 million in the half. And Australia's EBIT margin grew 10 points to 11.7% as a result of the initiatives we have implemented. We are continuing to invest in our Australasian business, as I've said, with $57 million invested in organic capital in the half, and you should expect that to continue in 2019. The investments include the cost reduction programs in fibre, and a further $8 million was approved to support additional projects in fibre, which is asset replacement, upgrades and de-bottlenecking. The final stages of commissioning the secondary water treatment plant at B9 in FY19, and Stuart and I took the board through that plant yesterday, and it was terrific to see that operating already at levels that we had hoped for. In FY18, the glass business committed $50 million to upgrade existing warehouses and to build a new warehouse at Gawler to hold inventory on-site and reduce our off-site pallet storage and transport costs. These developments are on track and on budget, with the upgrade expected to be completed in March 19 and the new warehouse by December 19. In addition, we spent $7 million on a new small format can capability for the beverage cans business in New Zealand, and I'm pleased to say that that has been commissioned and is also producing in line with expectations. Through earnings growth, sound balance sheet management and our returns-focused capital investments, the return on average funds employed in Australia or in Australasia improved a further 40 points over the prior corresponding period to 13.5%. If you look at slide 6, that shows you in simple terms the growth in the Australasian business. The Australasian business today is a stronger, more efficient business, largely as a result of the capital that has been invested to ensure it continues to exceed customer expectations and meet the changing market requirements. As consumer preferences evolve, Aurora's research and technology division is working closely with fibre packaging and customers, from farmers through to retailers, on new product development. These products include fibre punnets and trays, and we have commenced in-store trials for some of these product lines. And this is on the back of the consumers looking to reduce plastic in the supply chain. Turning to North America, we've discussed on previous updates, market conditions in North America are generally tough in the sectors that we serve. In US dollar terms, sales in North America grew 7.2% to US $882 million. However, EBIT declined 1.1% to US $46.5 million. And this is a result of tough market conditions and associated margin pressures, the ERP transition costs, which we've spoken about previously, and the reset in Aurora Visual from the loss of the Toys R Us business following their bankruptcy in FY18. The OPS business group continued to have some success in growing existing accounts and attracting larger corporate customers through leveraging its geographic spread and its customer value proposition. OPS sales grew by 8.5%, with the Landsberg business increasing sales by 4.5%, although this was mainly from the pass-through of higher paper prices. And Stuart can give you some more details on that as the call continues. Acquisitions contributed 5.2% of total OPS revenue growth, and both of these, being Bronco and Pollock, are performing in line with our expectations at this early stage. North American EBIT margins were down 40 points on the prior corresponding period to 5.3%. And some of that obviously is due to the effect of paper pricing flow-throughs, which was about 20 of those 40 basis points. Pleasingly, the ERP system rollout has now been completed. We are still incurring transition costs associated with the implementation, and these are expected to reduce progressively during calendar 2019. The most recent conversions have been the large Californian business, so there is a lot of focus on that in our largest segment. Pleasingly, there has been minimal adverse impact on customer experience and service levels, but earnings have certainly been impacted by the related transition costs. If I look at growth over the last 18 months, although it's a positive that the base business sales revenues were not materially impacted by the ERP implementation process, the emphasis on the commercial and sales teams was rightly on maintaining the base business. As the implementation matures and confidence grows, the emphasis will return to growth, with some benefits already being realised in some of the earlier sites that went live on SAP. And this is expected to continue progressively through calendar 19 and beyond. In North America, with the success of the Australasian Fibre Packaging Asset Refresh Program and the SAP integration completed, or sorry, the changeover completed, assessments of similar investments of asset refreshing for our manufacturing operations in the US have commenced, with the design detail and rollout plan being finalised over FY19. And our expectation is that spending on the upgrade of the US fibre operations will begin in the second half of 2019, with most of the commitments to be made in the second half of calendar 19 and beyond. As the initial stage, the manufacturing division has commenced commissioning a new six-colour press in Northern California. Early days, but the signs are good, and we have used the experience of similar type of installations in Australia over the last few years to help with this in North America. The new high-speed, large-format digital printer, which is the same as the printer commissioned in Australia, has been commissioned, and the early expectations both in North America and in Australia are at least at our expectations or potentially a little better. Aurora Visual in the first half of 19 were impacted by the reset from the lost Toys R Us business, but as a positive sign for an improving outlook into calendar 2019 and beyond, the value proposition is gaining traction with the revenue gap from Toys R Us already recovered from a combination of existing and new customers, albeit at more competitive margins at this stage. As the Aurora Visual business continues its integration journey and further leverages collaboration across sites, their business is expected to continue to drive towards targeted returns. Turning to slide 8 and the North American acquisitions briefly, as you all will be aware, we completed the acquisitions of Bronco for approximately US $24 million and Pollock Packaging for approximately US $81 million, effective 1 September and 1 December respectively. Pollock is a leading provider of industrial, retail and facility supplies and is a vertically integrated corrugated box manufacturer in Texas. Last year, Pollock celebrated its 100th year of operation, and its revenue in FY18 was more than US $260 million, which is about $350 million Australian, and the trailing 12-month EBITDA was US $9.3 million, which in A-dollar terms is 12.8 or thereabouts. The acquisition represented a multiple of 8.7 times trailing EBITDA, and our expectation of synergies is that they will be approximately US $6 million and to be achieved over the next 2 to 3 years. And these will be generated primarily from operating cost reductions, including footprint, procurement, and administration efficiencies. Bronco, on the other hand, was established over 20 years ago and primarily services corporate accounts in the fresh food manufacturing industry, which has been one of the key focus areas for Aurora in North America. Bronco generates revenues in excess of US $50 million and provides on-demand packaging delivery service to customers predominantly located in Texas. And there are also sales synergy and other opportunities with Bronco. Both acquisitions are expected to be returns accretive, with ROAFI of 20% expected on both by the third full year of ownership in FY22. Excuse me. I can say that even though it's early stages, the integration and operations of both Bronco and Pollock are in line with our expectations. On slide 9, we just want to make the point that both these acquisitions are consistent with and align with Aurora's four key strategic M&A pillars, which are footprint, customers, capability, and talent. From a footprint point of view, both businesses increase Aurora's exposure to the attractive Texas market, which is a growth state and the second largest economy in the US after California. From a customer perspective, both Pollock and Bronco serve long-term, well-established blue-chip customers in Aurora's targeted segment. And in addition, Pollock also provides a strong adjacency into the attractive facility supply sector, further adding to our packaging solutions approach. Under the capability pillar, both businesses bring strong brand equity, while Pollock provides a manufacturing capability platform for vertical integration for Aurora's existing businesses in Texas. Finally, talent. Pollock and Bronco have experienced, stable, and proven management teams, all of whom are staying with the businesses post-acquisition and have signed minimum two-year contracts. Both organizations' cultures align with Aurora's, which is important for us. And there's over 500 new team members across these two businesses that have joined the Aurora team. Now, while there are other acquisitions in the pipeline, the focus for now is appropriately on integrating these two acquisitions. And in this regard, one of the senior management team from Australia is now Dallas-based and will lead the integration process over of both businesses over the next 12 months. Looking at slide 10, which highlights the components of the earnings bridge in North America, the acquisitions of Bronco and Pollock provided US $1.5 million of additional EBIT, and there was further net growth in the existing North American businesses of approximately $800,000. As indicated back in August, an additional US $1.5 million was incurred on transition costs associated with the ERP rollout. As we said before, the ERP rollout has required significant resources and management time, and particularly so as we have rolled this out into the large Californian markets which we serve. As I've said before, we're starting to see benefits flow from improved business processes, inventory and margin visibility, and enhanced functionality, and we look forward to this continuing in calendar 19. Aurora Visual's financial results in the first half were impacted by US $1.2 million from the reset from the lost Toys R Us business. And as I mentioned earlier, pleasingly, this has already been recovered from a revenue standpoint, which is a credit to the team at OV. The positive impact from the weaker average A-dollar was $4.5 million for the period. It's been nice to have a bit of tailwinds from the A-dollar against the US after 3 or 4 years of headwinds. Going forward, a 1 cent move in the A-dollar-US dollar exchange rate on an annualized basis equates to approximately $1.8 million from an EBIT point of view and $1.1 million from an NPAT point of view. And from here on, I'll hand it over to Stu to give you an outline of the corporate result, cash flow, and balance sheet. Stu.
Thank you, Nigel, and good morning or good afternoon to all. Just quickly on corporate costs on slide 11 here. So the costs for the period of $16.7 million represent a slight increase on the PCP, mainly because of $1.5 million of acquisition costs related to Pollock and Bronco. And you, those of you who have followed us know that we just take those through the PBIT line through the corporate area. So they have come through in this six-month period. In underlying and overall terms, I'd say to you that corporate costs continue to be well managed and in line with that. In terms of guidance for this financial year, the FY19 year, we expect underlying corporate costs for the full year to be broadly in line with those from the prior year, which is approximately $30 million, and that includes where we were at the half. Just a quick comment on tax or tax expense. While Aurora has been positively impacted by lower US tax rates through the recent tax reforms, we do operate in several other jurisdictions where adverse rules are either already in or coming into effect, which will mean Aurora's effective tax rate is not likely to be materially different from historical rates. We expect average tax rates for the group to continue at around the 28% level. Turning to slide 12 and cash flow. Nigel's touched on some of this before, but I'll just quickly go through this. Increased earnings in the half were converted into cash with operating cash flow of $132 million. This was down on prior corresponding period by approximately 15%. And I'll take you through that in a second. Cash conversion was approximately 52%, which was in line with the guidance that we gave at the full year in August 2018, reflecting the fact that our ongoing level of investment in capital. There's a seasonal working capital build in this first half, and the reset that's also added, or additive to this, is the reset in trading terms on imported aluminium. Cash conversion was lower than the 63% reported in the prior corresponding period. However, it is ahead of what we would see as underlying cash conversion in the prior corresponding period of 45%. And the reason for that is the prior corresponding period included the benefit of the sale proceeds from the sale of the Smithfield site of around about $45 million. If you adjust for this, the underlying cash conversion in the prior period was around 45%. Average working capital to sales still remains below Aurora's 10% target level at around 9.3%. This is pleasing, but I'd say to you there are always opportunities to continue to improve, and in this regard we remain vigilant, especially as economic conditions or the outlook is for ongoing challenging conditions and perhaps tightening conditions here in Australasia. Just to quickly recap on the imported aluminium position, there was a reset in trading terms for aluminium, for imported aluminium. In other words, they were shortened. The adverse impact on working capital cash flow in the first half was approximately $25 million. Pleasingly, through some hard work, we've been able to renegotiate these terms, and we expect the majority of this $25 million to reverse in the second half. As mentioned by Nigel earlier, a heightened level of organic capital expenditure has been a focus for Aurora in the past 18 to 24 months. In the December half, we invested approximately $74 million in organic capital initiatives. This included upgrading the printing and converting assets at our Australian and New Zealand fibre packaging sites as part of the ongoing asset refresh program, warehouse construction developments at Gawler for glass, successful commissioning of a new sleek can line in New Zealand, as well as investing in innovation projects, which is an ongoing initiative for us. The total CapEx invested represents approximately 110% of depreciation and is a positive endorsement of the strength of the base businesses. In terms of guidance for net CapEx for FY19, with the ongoing higher level base capital spend, gross CapEx in FY19 is expected to be approximately 120% of depreciation, so some of the spend levels will actually be a bit higher in the second half, which is really just timing of when assets will be arriving and commissioning. Depreciation is expected to be approximately $135 million for the full year. In addition to CapEx in the period, $140 million was invested or committed to be spent, subject to some performance hurdles being met for some minor part of that, on the recent acquisitions of Bronco and Pollock in North America. So if you put all that together, in terms of guidance for the full year, cash conversion of approximately 60% is expected for FY19. In terms of the balance sheet, so on to slide 13, I guess despite the level of investment made in the half, we still have a strong balance sheet, which has us well positioned to invest in further growth. At December, net debt increased to 870 million, round numbers, with leverage up to about 1.8x from 1.5x at June 2018 and December 2017. The current leverage of 1.8x is still below the lower end of our targeted range of between 2 and 2.5x and provides us with certainly the capacity to continue to execute on our growth investment strategy. Albeit, as Nigel mentioned earlier, the focus for now is appropriately on integrating the two recent acquisitions rather than continuing to acquire at this point in time. As a company, we remain committed to maintaining sensible debt levels and investment-grade credit metrics. And to this end, we still have significant capacity and headroom in our facilities, with undrawn capacity of approximately 160 million and cash reserves of over 100 million. In terms of our debt facilities, our 400 million syndicated facility here in Australia matures in December 2019. And I'd say to you, not surprisingly, our refinance process has already commenced. And we would expect to have that facility refinanced before the end of the financial year. And beyond that, no further facilities mature until September 2020. Our principal focus is to use our strong financial position to invest in acquisition and organic growth opportunities that will generate future shareholder returns in line with our performance criteria. While investing to drive organic and new growth remains the primary objective, as we've continually said, capital management options will be considered in the absence of suitable growth investments existing in our pipeline. I would add at the moment, capital management is not a priority at this point in time. With that, I'll hand back to Nigel, who will cover off on the Aurora Way, our culture program, our strategy, and some perspectives for the remainder of FY19. Nigel.
Thanks, Stu. You've all heard me talk to the value that Aurora places on organisational culture before, and it remains an important focus for Aurora's leaders. There's been a lot of talk in the media recently about corporate culture. At Aurora, we have made our culture a priority, and we see it as a vital area of differentiation and an attraction for existing and potential team members. We will continue to invest in embedding our culture because we believe that this drives our performance and competitive advantage, and therefore generates long-term shareholder value. This is a commitment that comes from the board down, and we see it as very much the essence of the Aurora Way. When it comes to our blueprint for creating shareholder value, that's slide 15, you will have all seen this slide in a similar format before. We have a multifaceted approach, organic growth across Australia, New Zealand and North America, which is underpinned by good market structures or opportunities and enhanced by continued investment in innovation. And we supplement that by a returns-focused approach to allocating capital across three areas: organic growth capital, which is investing in our existing businesses, backed by a customer, or expanding capacity, or investing in new warehouses like we have done in our glass business. The second area could be bolt-on M&A with Pollock and Bronco, the most recent examples of that, or alternatively adjacent M&A, which entails entering parallel packaging substrates or markets. We continue to believe that we have the capacity to comfortably invest between 150 and 200 million per annum in growth initiatives, and we are well on track to investing this in FY19. We also aim to provide shareholders with a steady income stream through a sustainable dividend where we seek to pay out 60 to 70% of profit before tax. As part of our blueprint for creating shareholder value, we will also continue to target earnings growth of circa 2x GDP in each of the markets in which we operate, and complement or supplement that with growth investments, which will be on top of that. and the 7.6% increase in earnings delivered in the December half is consistent with that approach. Turning to slide 16, it summarises how we've been executing on our growth investment agenda since our listing in December 2013. We've now invested approximately $650 million in return-generating investments. During this time, and with the benefits of many of these investments still ahead of us, we've enhanced core capability through committing $215 million to customer-led organic growth opportunities. We've invested approximately $250 million in developing a national capability in the North American point-of-purchase market. And we've invested in bolt-on acquisitions that develop the footprint and product capability of OPS and the fibre businesses. Based on the success of the recent organic investments, we plan to continue to invest to support organic growth and as well ensuring the effective integration of the recent acquisitions. I reiterate though, as appropriate, we will continue to explore and evaluate a pipeline of acquisition targets that are expected to be returns accretive. But we will do that when we're comfortable that the integration process at both Pollock and Bronco is operating or is conducting according to our expectations. Turning now to shareholder value, we like to say each time we release our results what we said we would do, what we've done, and how that provides shareholder value creation, and really to give the message that we see this as a really important part of our job as management, as custodians of the company for the shareholders. So over the past 12 months, we've delivered organic growth across the business, increased our profitability, executed on the bolt-on M&A strategy, continued to invest in innovation, investing for customer growth, increased our dividends, and displayed a disciplined approach to expenditure with cash flow in line with our expectations. And we expect that focus to continue in 2019. Lastly, before I hand it over to questions, I'd like to give you some perspectives for 2019. As has been the case for the last couple of years, the markets Aurora operates in are expected to remain challenging, noting that North America is facing increasing inflationary pressures. While too early to quantify, the recent adverse weather experienced in North Queensland and to a lesser extent a large part of North America have impacted our operations as well as providing a risk to sales volumes. It is too early to tell in Australia with the effect from the Townsville floods how much, if any, that will affect sales for 2019. The success of recent organic capital investments supports management's ongoing investment. So as Stu said, you should expect gross capex to be approximately 120% of depreciation for FY19, and that includes the range of initiatives we've talked about before. We are also beginning to spend capital on the G2 furnace rebuild, which is scheduled for early calendar 2020. The Australasian business has demonstrated strength and resilience despite the cost pressures that we have worn over the past 4 or 5 years. In addition to pursuing organic growth, we will continue to identify and implement cost reduction opportunities and utilise the Aurora Global Innovation Initiative. The renewable energy power purchase agreements entered into FY18 are providing greater certainty for electricity costs, and we do not expect there to be any material impact from electricity in the coming periods as a result. Kraft and starch prices continue at heightened levels, and the majority of the $4 million headwind encountered in the first half from these two is expected to continue in the second half. OCC commodity price volatility is expected to continue for the remainder of FY19. The sensitivity is unchanged from previous guidance, that is $10 per ton movement in OCC commodity price represents a gross annualised impact of approximately $500,000. In North America, earnings growth through market share gains and cost efficiencies in both business groups remains a key focus, as is the next stage of the optimization of the ERP rollout, which will continue during 2019 and beyond. You should expect the additional transition costs incurred in the first half from this to start to progressively roll off, with benefits starting to flow in calendar 2019. And the integration of Pollock and Bronco, as I've said, is clearly a priority. Lastly, the Aurora Visual integration journey is expected to continue positively. Capability has been added to drive the business forward towards targeted returns, and this is continuing to gain momentum. And the future revenue growth is expected to be driven by the ongoing penetration from a uniform national offering and value proposition. As we have said for 12 times in a row now, we expect to continue to drive organic growth, integrate acquisitions, and invest during FY19, and we expect constant currency earnings to be higher than those reported in FY18, subject, of course, to global economic conditions.